Kedir Rabosai, we have begun the season of Sfiras HaOmer, so I want to mention a number of halachos that relate to Sfiras HaOmer. First, the question, the L'shem Yichud that begins, that with which a person prefaces Sfiras HaOmer, we say in Nimuchon HaMazulim, Kem Mitzvah Saseh Shel Sfiras HaOmer. That sounds like it's a Daraisa. Mitzvah Saseh typically sounds like it's a Daraisa. There's a mitzvah, one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah is Bal Tosef. Bal Tosef is an Issa Daraisa that's defined as, one of the definitions is, as taking mitzvah derabanan and calling it a mitzvah Daraisa. If you would get up and say some mitzvah derabanan and you can say this is one of the Tayyik mitzvahs Daraisa, or the blank mitzvahs Daraisa, that would be a violation of an Issa Daraisa of Bal Tosef. If that's the case, how could we go ahead and say, after all, we part the majority of the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that Sfiras HaOmer nowadays is only Drabanan. Notwithstanding some significant opinions that it is Daraisa, we Paskin that it's Drabanan. If it's Drabanan, so how could we say that we're preparing ourselves to be Kaim Mitzvah Saseh Shel Sfiras HaOmer, that Lashon sounds like it's a violation of the Isser Daraisa of Bal Tosef? So the perhaps obvious answer might be that the word mitzvah saseh doesn't necessarily have to mean a daraisa mitzvah. There are mitzvah saseh daraisa, but that doesn't mean that every mitzvah saseh happens to be daraisa. There's also mitzvah saseh drabanan. Mitzvah saseh, sometimes people think that the concept of mitzvah saseh shazman grama is only applicable to daraisas. That's not true. The lashon of mitzvah saseh daraisa, I'm sorry, mitzvah saseh shazman grama, for which women are exempt, that also applies equally to Drabbanan. So Lashon Mitzvah Saseh can be Drabbanan. So what should be the Kavana when we say that line? Well, it is a positive, whether it's Daraisa or Drabbanan, we have in mind to fulfill whatever mitzvah it might be. If you want to fulfill a mitzvah, you don't have to have Kavana to say, in your mind, that it's specifically a mitzvah Daraisa, as opposed to a Drabbanan, or the opposite, or to think that it's a mitzvah Drabbanan, as opposed to a mitzvah Daraisa. All you have to do is intend to fulfill whatever mitzvah it may or may not be. So therefore, if you intend that it's to fulfill the positive mitzvah, be it Daraisa or Drabbanan, that's what we're intending. So we're not trying to specify with that Lashon that it is specifically Daraisa. It is according to some, but that's not what we are saying by using the word mitzvah saseh, shel sfiras haomer. Just an aside, I wasn't aware of this, but I heard recently on a tape from Rav Schechter, Herschel Schechter, that whenever a good litmus test, whenever Mishnah quotes, cites a halacha, followed by Shenamar, there are two ways the Mishnayos quote Psukim, either Shenamar or Mishum Shenamar. Whenever it says Shenamar, it means it's a Din D'Oraisa. Whenever it says Mishum Shenamar, that always means it's a remez from the Torah, but it's not a Din D'Oraisa, it's only Din D'Rabbanan. That Chazal, Asmuchu Akra, they correlated it to a Pasuk, they had a remez from the Pasuk, but it's not that the Halacha emanates from the Pasuk. Shenemar as opposed to Mishum Shenemar. Just interesting side point. When the Shliach Tzibur when I say the Bracha, after which everybody else says the Bracha and counts, so you don't have to have, Rishon Zalman points out, you don't have to have negative kavana while you're listening to me say that bracha first. It's sufficient that you didn't have positive kavana, because everybody knows, normally, in some situations, if you want to be say your own bracha, and somebody else is being motzi you, so you have to have negative kavana. You don't want to be yotzi with him, because you want to make your own. Let's say you're sitting at a table, and you're a guest at a table, and somebody's making kiddush for the whole table. You want to make your own kiddush. So you have to have, I'm not being yotzi with the balabas. If you had intent, you would be yotzi. So if you have negative kavana, that's fine. But here, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman, everybody realizes that when the rabbi, the Shliach Tzibur, is making the bracha, that's not to be mostly those who don't want to be yotzi. Yes, I have in mind if there's somebody who forgot a day, somebody missed a day, wants to be yotzi with my bracha, yes, I have that person in mind. But mistama, a stam person, doesn't have in mind that I am yotzi such that tonight, if you don't want to be yotzi, you have to have negative kavana. No, negative kavana is not necessary. Stam kavana is enough. You could still go ahead and make your own bracha, even though you didn't have negative kavana when the rabbi or the Shliach Tzibur recited his bracha. The one very creative, I think I mentioned this last year, but it's important to point out, let's say you're a Shliach Tzibur and I don't wish on any of you, but let's say you forgot one day. And then shortly after you forgot one day, sometime in the next few weeks, you find yourself as a shliach tzibur, and you're about to be very embarrassed because you can't count with a bracha, but let's say a shliach tzibur is expected to count with a bracha, or let's say I miss a day, and I'm going to be embarrassed if I don't, if I'm all of a sudden, you know, comes day, you know, 22, and all of a sudden I'm asking somebody else to make the bracha for me. It could be very embarrassing for me. So there's a solution for me or for anyone who finds himself in that solution. Hope we don't forget a day. The solution is that we have a halacha that is yotza motzi. That if you were yotze a mitzvah, you still have the right to be motzi somebody else. We point this out numerous times. If you made kiddush, and then somebody comes late to your meal, somebody who doesn't know how to make their own kiddush, or somebody who doesn't know how to read Hebrew, and they want to hear Kiddush Friday night, you could say the same bracha from beginning to end again. Because Yatza Motzi, as long as you're in the mitzvah, you're in the parash of Arvitz, you are obligated in this mitzvah. So even if you already fulfilled your own personal obligation, your connection to a fellow Jew still would allow you to say that bracha again, right? Like some we pointed out when it comes to Shofar, when it comes to Tkiah Shofar, Mikra Megillah, if the person who you're blowing for in the nursing home, or you're reading the Megillah for in the nursing home, or at home, wherever it might be, somebody didn't make it to shul, they're not able, they don't know how to recite the bracha, and you already fulfilled the mitzvah, you're allowed to fulfill the mitzvah again. According to that, we have a very easy solution. Let's say I forgot to say the bracha, and therefore I'm going to have to be embarrassed. So what I could do is I could whisper to somebody over here and say, do me a favor, you're still obligated, could I please be motzi you in your bracha? Because even though I can't recite a bracha for myself anymore, because I lost out, you know, it's a question what that means, but I lost out the opportunity to fulfill, to do a full 49-day count, but you're obligated in the bracha, so I could be motzi you in that bracha, and therefore, nobody knows, just me and this other one guy, he's going to be nice enough to allow me to recite the bracha for him, he'll be quiet, he'll answer amen, and I'll recite the bracha as though I'm safe for myself, he and I knows that it's really just for him, it's not for myself, and therefore, I don't get shamed. He's yotzi his bracha just as well because he answered amen and yotzama and shemeh ka'ona. So that would be a solution to somebody who finds himself in such a predicament. Continue our discussion of Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer, an interesting question that could be raised that has some other applications which we'll talk about in a moment. But what happens if a person knows ahead of time that there will be a day during Sfiras HaOmer during which they will be unable to count? Let's say, for example, a person knows that they're going to go in Rachman Tzlan for some kind of procedure and they won't be, they'll be out of commission for 24 hours without, let's say, they know they'll have to be put out for a little while. They won't even be able to count without a bracha. They'll be unable to count for a period of 24 hours. So if a person knows ahead of time that they're not able to count for at least one of the days, should they nevertheless start counting with the bracha or not? So Rishlomo Zalman says in Hilchas in Halicha Shlomo that even if you know you're not, even if a person knows that they're not going to be able to, he says you could definitely yes count with the bracha, because when a person goes ahead and does their counting before this event happens, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing that day. If that day they're good and they can count, then go ahead and say a bracha. If it happens to be that 40 days later they're going to be in a situation where they can, so at that point they won't be able to say a bracha. If I could just ask the people in the back to be a little quieter. The proof that he brings to this is an interesting question. There's a discussion, famous bar mitzvah drasha for a bar mitzvah boy who becomes bar mitzvah during the Sfiras HaOmer. If a bar mitzvah boy could make a bracha when he begins, because really he's not going to be able to continue his mitzvah chinuch, could he make a bracha when he becomes a bar mitzvah? Because now he's only starting his chiyuv as a real bar chiyuva, you know, 30 days in. So he doesn't have the whole nine yards. So even those who say, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, one second, even those who say that once a child becomes a bar mitzvah, he's not able to make a, he's not able to continue with a bracha, because he just came in at day 30, that's when he just becomes chayav Again, we don't pass like that. But according to those opinions who say that when a boy becomes a bar mitzvah, once he hits bar mitzvah in the middle of sphere, he cannot continue with the bracha because he's not going to have a full set of 49 days, even those opinions didn't say that the first 29 days, when he was a katan, he wasn't allowed to count with the bracha. Because at that time, he started, okay, and he started with whatever chiyuv he had, and so he's allowed to continue until something happens and changes the status quo. Similarly, if a person knows that on day 40 they're going to be out of commission for a day, so on day 1 till 40, they are able to just say whatever bracha that they can do, because nothing has changed yet. They're allowed to go ahead, even though in the future something will happen that will prevent them from being a mashlim, but as things are now, they could do what they are obligated to do now. A fascinating point that he makes. What do you think about the following? A child who's higil l'chinuch. How old is a child who's higil l'chinuch? What's the age of chinuch for Sfira Sa'omer? I would say an 8-year-old probably. 8-year-old could easily count the whole third grader. Could easily count the whole sphere without a problem. Maybe even a second grader. Or maybe even a first grader. What about the following? Could a third grade boy's mother be motzi the third grade boy for the bracha? You hear that? Could the third grade boy's mother be motzi the third grade boy for the bracha? Let's think. What's a woman's chiyuv in Sfira Sa'omer? What's a woman's chiyuv in Sfira Sa'omer? She's petura. Close. She's petura. Why? Because Mitzvah says she has mangrama. Aside from a Ramban that everybody likes to wonder about. But other than that Ramban, everyone holds it's Mitzvah says she has mangrama. A woman is petura. The boy who's higil chinuch is an 8-year-old boy. He's chayiv midrabanan. Somebody who has zero chiyuv cannot be motzi an 8-year-old boy who has a chiyuv midrabanan. I don't know if shlichus works. Somebody who's not parsha. She's not even the parsha. There's no dinarevus there. She's petura. Of course, Ashkenazim hold that she's allowed to make a bracha. That's a big machlok. Because Ashkenazim svarad about making brachas if you're not mechuyev bedaver. So, for example, a Sephardi woman would not be able to make a bracha on any mitzvah that says she's mangrama. Ashkenazi women, the Ramah Paskins, do make a bracha on mitzvah that says she's mangrama. So, a Sephardi woman would not make a bracha on Sfira Sa'omer, and a Sephardi woman would never make a bracha on Lulav. Exactly, thank you. But Ashkenazios would, but that doesn't mean they're obligated. They're just doing it as an Eino Mitzvah Osa. The 8-year-old son is. Yes, mitzvah, albeit maybe drabanan as chinuch, but he is mitzvah, his mother's not mitzvah, therefore she does not have the ability to emotzi her 8-year-old son. Beautiful ha'ara of Rav Shlomo Zalman. An interesting question is raised, Rachman al-Islam, if somebody's an onain during this 7-week period. So as an onain, they're of course pater from all mitzvahs that say, Sfira Sa'omer is only one of them, so of course they can't make a bracha, during Asher Kedushan, with the Savitz Zman, they're exempt from the mitzvah during their Aninos Rachman al-Islam. However, should they just count, not because they want to fulfill the mitzvah now in their Aninos, but rather they want to make sure that they don't mess up their streak so that they can continue counting with the bracha to get to 49. So that's a big discussion among the poskim, and the Nodeb Yehuda paskins that an onain would count without a bracha, not because he has to count, but just that he could keep the streak and continue till 49 with being able to continue with a bracha. If that's, now listen to this svara, listen to this question. If the whole reason why an onain would count is to enable them to finish their streak with a bracha, what would happen with an onain on the 49th night of Sfira Sa'omer? If the whole point, points out Shlomo Zalman, the whole point of the onain being able to count with bichlal, so that he could continue with the bracha for the rest of the days. But if it's an onain on the 49th night, so there's no, and they know that the kvura won't be until right, and then there won't be a kvura until after Yontav, let's say. So let's say in Eretz Yisrael, the kvura will be in Eretz Yisrael, and the petira was here right before Sfira Sa'omer, the 49th night. So that person, that svar of the Nodeb Yehuda wouldn't apply. The whole story for the Nodeb Yehuda that they should, and an onain should count without a bracha, is to enable them to reach the finish line. But here, if they're an onain and they're not going to be able to get to any finish line because of the 49th day, they don't have the svara to count, and therefore that 49th night they would just leave out entirely.
It's gotta be some type of
kvush geis. No, if they're
bury the maize.
No. I said if the let's say they're going to Eretz Yisrael, the kvush is not going to be until after Yontif. So they're an onin all the way until Shavuos.
They can't do it as an Eretz
Yisrael. An onin is not allowed to. No, it's a bizarre into the aninus. No.
Not allowed.
No. Except in this case, because we know that we have the Sora, that otherwise is going to mess up the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But normally, an Oni is not allowed to volunteer to make to do mitzvahs. No. Okay. An interesting kula that Shlomo Zalman is known for is in the realm of music on Sfiras HaOmer, where Shlomo Zalman says that the whole issur of music is really an issur of dancing. And therefore, music is just an extension of the dancing. So says Rosh Hashanah in the following Chiddush, Lahakel, if there's a kind of music that is not the type of music that leads to dancing, for example, slow music, classical music, what he calls the kind of Jewish music that's Merom Emes HaNefesh, you know, the Dveikas, Havdalah, Motzei Shabbos, Mavamalka type songs, the Kumzitz type songs, not lively songs, those are not things that bring a person to Rikud or Machol, to dancing, and therefore, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman, Migdina, those would be those kinds of songs, that kind of music would be permitted, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman. That's a very big kula. Fascinating, the history. He says, he quotes that there was the Sefer Leket Yosher was a Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshim. And the Leket Yosher quotes his Rebbe, the Trumas Hadeshim. We're going back a long time. The Trumas Hadeshim lived when? 1400s? 1300s? 1400s, we're still going back very early. He says that the Trumas HaDeshim wouldn't sing Eliyahu HaNavi on Motzei Shabbos during Sfira. So Shlomo Zalman says it must be that the Trumas HaDeshim's niggun for Eliyahu HaNavi was probably a very happy, beady kind of niggun. So that's why it must be that this Sefer quotes the Trumas HaDeshim not singing it on Eliyahu HaNavi on Motzei Shabbos. We could ask around what the typical niggun for Eliyahu HaNavi is. But we have a raya if we want to take this to the full, to this lumnus all the way to the touchdown zone. So we'd have to come out from here that we have a mesora based on this cheshbon that the Trumas HaDeshim's Eliyahu HaNavi was a happy tune, and maybe if we have to choose tunes for Eliyahu HaNavi Motzei Shabbos, we choose a happy tune based on this, because that's the only way that the Trumas HaDeshim, according to Shlomo Zalman, would not have sung it on Motzei Shabbos during Sfira. We can have been a catch.